Welcome to the new series of Bringing Up Britain. The internet may have brought the world a mouse click away, but it's also created a rift between generations, with those who were schooled with jotter and pen struggling to keep up with this new communication tool with which children are frequently more adept. According to one study, 37% of 9 to 16-year-olds say they know more about the internet than their parents. So how can we pass on experience and teach kids how to cope with a world we're often struggling to get to grips with ourselves? In today's programme, we're looking at how the internet has changed the lives of parents and children and what we can do about the challenges, risks and less often celebrated possibilities it throws up, given we're not all about to log off anytime soon. This week's panel includes Professor Tanya Byron, consultant clinical psychologist in child and adolescent mental health, Helen King from the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Centre, and Julie Johnson, a child, adolescent and family psychotherapist. Maybe I could just start by asking you all what you'd describe as the most radical impact the internet has had on children in the past 10 years.
The access to social networking, so the ability to communicate outside of the real world and meet new people in a way that they never have been able to before.
Julie?
I think also just connecting with their friends and maintaining their relationships outside of school has been a very positive thing, but obviously has its downsides as well.
Tanya?
For me, it's a democratisation of information. Anyone can know anything from anywhere. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are, or how many books your parents can afford to buy you. You can click a mouse and you can go to the Smithsonian and you can see anything you need to see to learn.
Now, most of the discussion about digital kids tends to focus on the years from about 8 upwards. But especially since the arrival of the tablet, computers have become more and more a part of very young children's lives. Let's hear from Professor Lydia Plowman from Edinburgh University, who joins me on the line now. She's one of the very few people who's conducted detailed research into this age group. Now, Lydia, you see them sort of working tablets and so on, like past masters. I mean, do they just pick up how to use things like that?
Quite a few of the parents will tell us that that is the case. But in fact, because we do visits to home and we're observing what's going on rather than just asking questions down a phone line or something, we're able to see that children are modelling their behaviour on what their parents or often their older siblings are doing. So older siblings are quite an important source of learning for these children.
How about in terms of technology providing educational tools for children that young? I mean, the packaging on pretty much any toy these days is likely to boast of its educational benefits, but how often is this really true?
Well, we're a little bit sceptical about some of those claims. I mean, it's true that all the children in our studies had at least one of these kind of interactive learning aids. And the most recent Ofcom survey shows that 36% of children have one of these at home. Our experience is that children don't ask for these. If they're choosing birthday and Christmas presents, they'll choose something else. The marketing is aimed at parents or grandparents, other family members. And as you say, it's about accelerating children's learning. In our view, the learning design is not very good on a lot of those. It kind of duplicates rather old-fashioned ways of teaching concepts. We found that once the batteries ran out, sometimes parents didn't bother replacing them because the children weren't asking to be able to continue playing with them.
Tanya, should we be thinking more about how children at this young age engage with technology?
Absolutely, we should. I mean, you know, we are a digital global economy. I mean, apart from anything else, we're now raising a generation to support us all financially in a digital economy. But I think the problem often is the moral panic that surrounds the conversation about children, particularly young children, in technology, that technology will somehow replace traditional forms of learning, that technology will have negative and harmful impacts on children. And these are things that have to be thought about, but the thinking still ceases to be proportionate and balanced when we talk about children and technology.
But I imagine it's also a control issue. In your review for the last government, say, for children in a digital world, you highlighted neuroscientific research that young children find it hard to distinguish between fact and fiction. And I suppose in some ways that must inform how they're allowed to use digital technology at such a sort of vulnerable young age.
Absolutely. But it's something that we know because it informs the way we parent and educate young children in terms of the offline world, the real world. So we have supervision and management, and that can be done in the online world. You can create walled gardens for children to exist in. Profiles just for younger children that will just take them to a website that is created and moderated extensively for children of that age group, and the content that they will be interacting with is appropriate for the age group. It can be done. We just need to stop panicking and broaden our thinking about it.
Helen, you have a young son. Do you panic? Do you give him technology to play with?
I do panic. I find the phrase moral panic an interesting one from Tanya, because I'm consistently in a moral quandary about the kind of technology he should be allowed to use, and he's only 14 months old. My husband gives him my BlackBerry to play with so that we can change his nappy without him moving, because he sees us using that. It's something that Lydia said, that he is learning from watching us. So he's watching me use an iPad and slide my hand across the screen, and he now slides his hand across the screen. That scares me.
Why does it scare you?
I suppose partly because of the area that I work in. I work in child exploitation, and I see the worst of how offenders use the internet and new technology, for example. Now, I'm aware that at 14 months old, we will ensure that there is no way that he has access to online technology in the same way that older children would. And as Tanya said, there are so many things, and I more than most know about what we can do to protect children whilst allowing them to have a good time. But on a personal level, I find that very difficult, and it is a constant balance for me to work out.
Julie, we're talking about very young children, aren't we? I mean, some countries actually have guidelines terms of how to deal with this. Do you think they should be using technology at all?
I think up to 3-4, I possibly would say that they may be with their parent, maybe reading a book on an iPad, or maybe playing a game on an iPad or any tablet, and not left on their own. That would be my personal opinion, just from my anecdotal work with children, adolescents and families, yes.
Lydia, is there any evidence that using computers very early can do harm?
No, there's not really. I think the jury's out. At this preschool age range, people don't need to worry too much. I mean, the kind of advice that you were talking about, for instance, the American Academy of Pediatrics says children under 2 shouldn't have any screen time at all, and children over 2 should have not more than 2 hours a day. In fact, most parents ignore that. They do what they feel is right for themselves. And what we found is that their attitudes to their child's learning, to their child's friendships, to their child's play, those are the important things. And those are what shape the amount of screen time and other interaction time that children have with technology.
Tanya?
Very young children whose neurons are being pruned, the connections are being made, the neuronal networks are being laid down. Technology is going to have an impact in terms of how these neurons are firing. And we don't know very much about that yet, but we know enough to know that we have to be very clear about the amount of screen time children have and what they're experiencing. And actually, technology is not the most useful early life developmental experience for developing brains.